And tonight we're going to approach God's Word and learn a little bit about what faithfulness is, about what service is, and what God actually requires of us. This is the theme, if you will, or the title, that we would understand faithfulness and understand God's desire for each one of us. Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and we beg of you that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wonderful things out of your law. Lord, we ask that you would apply your word to our hearts, that each one of us would draw closer to you. Lord, may we love you and serve you more because of the message that we hear and the songs that we have sung. And Lord, might we go home tonight encouraged to renew our service for you in the week to follow. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The topic is faithfulness. And when we say the word faithful, I don't know about you, but we can think of it in a number of different ways. Often we consider someone who is faithful, someone who perseveres. They continue in spite of difficulties or hardships. Or we might consider someone faithful if they have done all that they could. They have not lacked in their service. But even just the word itself, faithful, if we were to break it apart, we find that it is faith and full. That is, you are having faith to an extreme amount, or that you are worthy of much faith or trust. And this is really the way in which it is used most often, that we are faithful if the trust that is placed in us is found to be true and not lacking. If we fulfill the duties that we have been set, the tasks that we need to get done are done, then we are faithful. The trust that is put in us is proven to be true. Jesus here is teaching that we should be faithful servants. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. How do we know if someone will faithfully do what tasks they have been given? Well, none of us can tell the future. We can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe it's going to rain. Maybe it's going to be sunny. We can't predict anything with any great degree of accuracy. How can we know if someone will be faithful in something that we have entrusted to them? The answer is, have they been faithful in little things up till now? Have they shown themselves faithful? Jesus here, after having given a story about the steward who makes a wise decision to write off other people's debts so that he can have a place for himself. And he shows great wisdom in that. Jesus then tells his disciples that they should be faithful in the least things, and then they will also be faithful in much. Faithfulness, the character quality of faithfulness, is not something that just happens. You don't find random person on the street, entrust them with $1 million, and then say, do what you want, come back to me and report in 6 weeks. We all know what would happen if you handed random stranger $1 million. 9 times out of 10, they would disappear. They would disappear from the country, or at least the money would disappear. This is because they have not been proven faithful before entrusted with great responsibility. Those who have been entrusted with small responsibilities and been found faithful will also be just as faithful in great responsibilities. Jesus follows that up, this statement about faithfulness, with a statement about justice. He that is unjust in the least, that is in little things, is unjust also in much. The question comes, what tasks have you been entrusted with, and what judgment have you been called to make? Have you been faithful to the things that have been entrusted to you? Have you been just in the judgment that you have needed to do? That is, when you need to judge between issues, have you been just, or have you been willing to bend the rules? If you are unjust in the least things, you are also unjust in much. You will find yourself tempted to be lax in being righteous in your judgment if you have already prepared the way by being unrighteous in your judgment in little things. There are little things in this world. There are things that are of small consequence at the time. Things like when you're working for someone and you have access to the pen drawer. And do you pilfer the pens? I know it's a silly illustration, but if you pilfer the pens and you take them for your own rather than treating them as the company's property, and you've filled your pockets with all of the goodies you could, in those little things you are unjust, you are not faithful, and then would you be trustworthy in the future with big things? According to Jesus, if you are unfaithful and unjust in the least, you will be unjust, unfaithful in that which is great, that which is of great and weighty importance. And so the question is not, will I be faithful in the future, but have I been faithful in the past? Have I been faithful in little things in the past? Is there areas where I have not been, one, worthy of the trust that has been placed in me? With children, we often find that you trust the children as far as you can examine every single action. You trust them to clean their room, and then you check. And you often have to tell them, and now clean it better. Pick up this thing. Yes, that includes the toys. Yes, that includes the apple that's under the bed for some reason. This is the kind of expectation that you have to have. While you might trust them, you only trust them so far so that they can learn to be trustworthy in those little things. And once they have accomplished one little task, then you can start to add another. Sophia has got the task of drying dishes at the new house because we don't have a dishwasher installed. So she gets to be drying the dishes and putting them away. And she thinks that's the greatest thing. And we said, well, you can't wash the dishes yet. Start with the drying of dishes. And then in a couple of weeks, maybe we'll let you try the washing of the dishes. Right now, she can't really see to wash the dishes. So there is a logistical problem we have to solve in this. The willingness is there. It's the ability that we are concerned about. But she will prove herself to be faithful in one task, and then we will add to it another. Faithfulness in little things leads to faithfulness in big things. We should trust and be trustworthy when we come to the big tasks. But there is no such thing as an insignificant task, responsibility, or judgment. Everything that we do should be treated as if it was important and good. In verse 11, Jesus makes an accusation. And in this accusation, he is talking to the crowd that's in front of him. I think it was mostly just his disciples that he was giving this illustration of the unjust steward to. And he then makes an accusation to his disciples. He says, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Thankfully, there's that word "if" there. Otherwise, we would all be saying, "Oh, those disciples, they definitely were not wise with their money, and therefore they were condemned." But here we have faithfulness in the proper use and righteous use of riches. Mammon there is just a word that means riches. Would God really entrust to us the riches of His Word if we have been unfaithful in little things, the least things, like monies? No, He would not. None of us would say, "Oh God, you're being unfair. You should give us the important stuff. We'll deal with that properly, but you know, we haven't been willing to trust you, to follow your direction, and to walk righteously with the monies that you've given us." No, we should be faithful in all that Christ has given us. We should be faithful in everything. If we are faithful in those little things, then the true riches can be delivered to our hands. This verse also puts in stark contrast what true riches are. According to the world, true riches is money. It is the value that you have. It's your net worth. It's all the things that you've been able to accumulate. But according to Christ, those are not true riches. That's just unrighteous mammon. The true riches is that which only God can give. It is that which we earn by our faithfulness to Him. It is that which we earn by service to God. How do we know that? Well, if we jump down to verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters." We won't go into tonight the fact that we have two masters that we could serve, nor will we go into the fact that each one of us, oh no, maybe we will. We'll go into this a little bit, how we will serve a master. All of us are servants. We are not kings and queens. We are not the main character of this story. God is the main character. We are servants. We can either serve and love God, or we can serve and love anything else. And for you and I, the choice is clear. Service must be done. Who will we serve? Who will we serve? If we serve mammon, riches, or if we serve ourself, or if we serve idols, we will get the reward that idols, money, or self can give. But if we serve God, we will get the reward of being faithful to Him. I want us to note also there in verse 13 that the motivation for our service is very important. It is not just that we have duties to do and therefore we must, you know, get the job done, but that we should do so out of a heart of love. Because we are human and all mankind is motivated by hate and love. These things motivate us far more than any particular other item. It is our love for riches that will propel us to work extra. Or it is our love for Jesus that will propel us to go the extra mile, to talk to someone about Christ, to have the tracts in our bag, not the one that has the weird picture on it, but have a tract to hand to someone in need. Love of God will cause us to help those in need. Because if we love God, we will also love one another. no servant will serve in an adequate manner unless they love their master. Joseph is a great example of a servant. When he was in Potiphar's house, he served with his whole heart. When he was in Pharaoh's house, he served with his whole heart. He did that which was best for the one he was serving. He appreciated all of their assets, but he treated them as his master's assets, to be loved and cared for by him, not something that he could use for himself. He prioritized Pharaoh, the prison hierarchy, and Potiphar. He prioritized them. He loved them. He showed them love as a servant. He could have grudgingly done his duty, but he would never have been promoted up in the prison. He never would have reached the top of Potiphar's house, nor would he have been appointed by Pharaoh to rule over the entire land under Pharaoh, second in command, except that he showed that he loved what was best for his master and not just what was best for himself. No servant can serve two masters. You will serve, but you will serve one or the other. You will serve based on love, or you will serve based on hate, but either way, your choice needs to be made to serve God. How does this then line up with faithfulness? Well, in verse 12, we have that same statement kind of repeated from verse 11. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If you have not been faithful with other people's things, you won't be faithful with those things that are your own. Often when things come easily, they are not treated as well. Back in 2000, we were in Dubbo. My parents, that was actually 99. We were in Dubbo for 6 months. It was a bit rough there. And many different people had gotten free things. There was a thing the government had done for housing for the Aboriginal community there. And they all had brand new houses. And they were all being burnt, one after the other, because it was cold. And they didn't have what they wanted to heat things, so they were breaking all the furniture to burn it. And since they didn't have fireplaces, the houses were catching on fire and burning down. Because they had been given the things freely with no strings attached, they did not value them. This is the truth. If we receive something freely, we often do not value it as we ought, because most of us are born unfaithful. We are not faithful in little things. We're not faithful in big things. We're not faithful. We do not treat well things which are another man's. And it can be guaranteed that if we were to have our own riches, we would waste them as well. Faithfulness in least leads to faithfulness in much. Are we being faithful? If you'll turn with me now to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. No, not 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. I read the 1 to 5 and got myself mixed up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. we have here the true riches is to have the praise of God. The true riches that Christ was speaking of in Luke chapter 16 is the praise of God. And who is it that judges whether we are worthy of that praise? Is it ourselves? No. Even Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, I do not glorify myself, nor do I speak of myself, but what the Father says, that's what I say. That we can rely upon the two testimonies, the testimonies of God and the testimonies of Christ. That we can see the glory is not just self-promotion, but rather it is from God. This is the reward that we aim for, Christians. We are all called to be stewards of the mysteries of God. That is, the mysteries that have been revealed to us. Hopefully they are not still mysteries to us. Mysteries of God, salvation by grace, through faith, not of works. These are mysteries. The world does not understand salvation at all, let alone salvation and deliverance by the grace of God. And they definitely don't understand faith. They think that it is foolishness. We could go down the line of what these mysteries of God are. But God has revealed many mysteries to us, and he has made us to be stewards of these mysteries. That is, the doctrine that we have learned of God, we are told to be stewards of. Does a steward hold things to himself for his own use? No. The steward applies things and uses them. He spends resources for increase, for growth. How then can we be appropriate stewards, ministers of Christ? Well, in verse 2, it says that we must be found faithful. Notice here, God doesn't say, or Paul doesn't say on God's behalf, that what is required of a man is that his IQ be above X number of points. It doesn't say that a man must be found to have read X number of books, 1,155. I haven't actually kept track of how many books I've read. None of those things promote us to God. None of those things make us appropriate stewards of the mysteries of God. Nor does it say anything about the fruitfulness here. I want us to notice that. It doesn't say anything about how effective we were. It doesn't say, and having seen 300 people saved. Or like Peter and the other disciples on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 at once. There's no mention of numbers here, no mention even of success in ministering the word, but rather faithfulness is what is required. Faithfulness. It is required that a man be found faithful. Looking into God's word, explaining the mysteries of God, these are the things that are required. And it is not whether you or I can ascertain whether faithfulness has been met, but whether God says that faithfulness has been found. This judges all of us. Even Paul here is not saying, and I therefore am perfectly content because everything is right and I've never failed in my faithfulness. I have never failed in giving that which I ought or doing the right thing at the right time or judging this matter or that matter or explaining the mysteries of God here or there. No, he says that there will be a day when the Lord will judge and the counsels of the hearts will be brought to light or made manifest. The counsels of the hearts. And all the things that are hidden, the things that aren't seen, the things that have happened behind the scenes, all of those things will be brought out by Christ and judged. And we know that then at that point, whatever is of value and is not burnt up, wood, hay, or stubble, that that will then redound to the glory, not of us, but to the glory of Christ. We will all be saying there is only one who is worthy of the praise, and that is Christ. We will receive a crown, and then we will cast it down. This is not the permanent glorification of every man. This is the temporary well done that will echo in our ears and our memory for all of eternity. That is the true riches of God, and that is what we should be aiming for. Have I been faithful? Have I been faithful with the light that I have? Have I been faithful with the Word of God? Have I been twisting it for mine own end? Have I been willing to take one verse here out of context and another verse there to prove myself righteous? Or have I used God's Word to minister to other people? Have I encouraged, strengthened, blessed others with the light that God has given me? Have I been a faithful steward of the mysteries of God? Faithfulness is required. Faithfulness is required. Nothing else is required. Even in schooling and other things like that, we find that faithfulness often has its reward. Sometimes we probably need higher standards for schooling, but at the very least, attendance and finishing the homeworks. And all of this will tend to help us learn and grow and make our marks and then gain our graduations or whatever it is that we're aiming for. Faithfulness will get us to the end goal. If we give up, if we are unfaithful, if we are untrustworthy, if we have been entrusted with something and we have been found wanting in little things, we will do so also with that which is big. And if we are unfaithful in the mundane things of this world, we will not be faithful with the mysteries of God. We need to be careful with God's Word to minister it to others, to rightly divide it, and to share it as far as we can. And then know that God will judge us in the end. And at that point, He will reward us with true riches. True riches based upon our faithfulness, not upon our own inherent abilities, but upon our willingness to rely upon Him every day. Let's close now with the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who doesn't require of us, even after salvation, to be the pillar of perfection. But Lord, that You require in us that we be found faithful, trustworthy, worthy of that which You have entrusted to us, Your Word, and the mysteries of God that have been revealed to us and that have been echoed in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and those things that we are convinced of that You have done. And Lord, we thank You that You require of us only that we be found faithful. Lord, we ask that You would help us to see the huge debt that we owe to those who are lost, to bring them to Christ. And Lord, help us also to see any areas where we have fallen short of faithfulness to You. Lord, we ask that You would strengthen us, challenge us, turn our unfaithful character into a faithful character, Lord, both in things which are least as well as the riches that are true riches, the riches in heaven, the well done, Thou good and faithful servant that we are striving for. Father, we ask that You would bless us tonight, that we would become faithful in service to You. And we ask that your name would receive all the glory for this. In Jesus' name, amen.